Hare Krishna, I'm Charu Chitana Das presenting Hare Krishna Morning Program. Studio clock, it's a couple of minutes past 8 o'clock. As per Vaishnava calendar and Vaishnava calendar, today is 27th January 2007, Navami Tithi Gaura Paksha, Subha Yoga, Bharani Nakshatra. Let us begin our journey to Krishna consciousness. Every early morning, Hare Krishna Temple in Melbourne at 197 Dank Street, Albert Park, Port Melbourne, opens for public and for devotees. For your kind information, one of most gorgeous deity in this southern hemisphere, the Lordship Sri Radha Vallabha's view times or Mangal Arati time at morning 4:30 a.m. The green silvery silk curtain is unveiling with this melodious prayer singing by devotees. This beautiful prayer, written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who appeared in the midst of the 17th century, he says, "One who, with great care and attention, loudly recites this beautiful prayer to the spiritual master during the Brahma Muhurta, means time just before sunrise, obtains direct service to Lord Krishna. My aim, you all receive pure loving service of Lord and re-establish our lost relationship."
Shingara Chan Mandira Majanani
Krishna. You are listening Hare Krishna Morning Program. Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us to re-establish our relationship with Lord Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam explaining on Canto 11, Krishna Varnam Tisha Krishnam Sang Upanga Astra Parasadam Yagnai Sankirtana Prayar Yagnati Hisu Muddhasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. This verse proving that Lord Krishna appeared in Kali Yuga as a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Wish you all receive the secret of Vaishnava etiquettes and recognize what is the purpose of this human form of life. Hope I can serve you all nicely and keep you all Krishna conscious by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and by my beloved Guru Maharaj. Please listen regularly. That will help us to find the real solution of this material problem. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. Today's topic is IQ, EQ and SQ, recorded at Mumbai, India. Listen very carefully. This morning we'll also listening the following part of Lochan Das Thakur's Sri Chaitanya Mangalam. Definitely we'll hear some devotional songs or prayers in between. Let us listen the lecture.
All the distinguished invitees, our guests and dear friends, I would like to welcome you wholeheartedly to this Prerna program. Today's topic is a very interesting one. IQ, EQ and SQ. IQ deals with your intelligence, and especially no one wants to admit that he has deficient or less intelligence, but the way in which this thing developed and the way in which it is being used nowadays is a lot different than what it was meant. During the course of getting information about what exactly is IQ, I came across a library entry where it said that IQ primarily was meant to test your school performance. That's all. But now, even your SATs and GMAT and GREs and all that, they also have an element of understanding your logic, your numerical attitude, mathematics. But again and again people are realizing that a high IQ doesn't guarantee happiness or success in life. I'll show you some information about how these things were tabulated. We'll go with some definitions. Isaac Newton, of course, the fellow who found out the law of gravity, supposed to have a very high IQ, isn't it? One day, his servant saw that he had made a hole in the partition. So he said, "Master, what is this hole for?" He said, well, the cat, which is my pet cat, she finds it difficult to cross over the wall and go from one room to another. So I have made a hole for her. After some days, the cat had kittens. So Newton made a smaller hole for the kittens to pass through. So his servant asked that, why the second one? He said, well, the bigger one is for the cat, the smaller is for the kitten. So he said, but can't both of them use the same one? And he said, oh, that's a good idea. Of course, it's not a slur on his reputation. But what exactly do we mean by these concepts, and if someone doesn't have them, what is he supposed to do? And the most important question, can spirituality help a person with a low IQ? I'm sure one research scholar said that even those who do research on intelligence, and they say that these tests, these IQ tests, they don't tell you the real picture of your intelligence, and don't take it so seriously, but secretly they also try their tests and see whether they are, where do they stand. It so happens that in the 21st century, Adolf Hitler and his Nazi party, some of the prominent members of that party were having exceptionally high IQs. And what did they do? They unleashed horror, terror upon untold millions of people. One mental health professional, as that's what psychologists and psychiatrists prefer themselves to call nowadays, I am a mental health professional. So this person says, will you call a doctor, an MD doctor, who smokes 4 packets of cigarettes a day, intelligent? Would you call a Nobel Prize winner who gets married for the 4th time, intelligent? I mean, he has a very high IQ, but he can't manage his family. Or would you call a very successful business executive who commits suicide at the age of 37? Intelligent? But they are. So what is this thing called intelligence? In fact, one expert, he says, I don't know whether we should even study IQ or other things when we don't know what intelligence is. What exactly is intelligence? Is someone with a big head intelligent? The blue sperm whale, which is the largest mammal, the largest animal alive on this planet, it's a whale, it's a fish. Its brain, its heart, is the size of a car. So big, its heart. And its brain also weighs many, many kilos. But that doesn't mean it is very intelligent. And while there are small birds who can make wonderful nests, which even man may be having difficulty in making them. So is man the most intelligent animal? Everyone says yes. Especially all members of the human species agree that they are the most intelligent. But the problem is we haven't taken the opinion of the other party. Like there is a folk tale of a man who has friendship with a lion. And he says, we are very powerful. I am more intelligent than you. And as they are going by, they are passing through some caves. And the man shows the lion, look, there is a drawing in the cave which shows a man killing a lion single-handedly with just a knife in his hand. The lion said, yes, but all these carvings are done by men. If we were to show our own self the story, it would be the other way. So, what is this thing called intelligence? Where does the mind come in? And now IQ, if that is not sufficiently proving to be useful, so-called intelligent people are also living very, very unhappy lives. So some people have come up with, no, wait, IQ is not the answer. There is emotional intelligence quotient. And then what is that? They say, well, that's your ability to handle your and others' emotions. So you keep cool and don't get excited, don't be aggressive, listen actively. Easier said than done. It's not so easy to master all these skills. And then there is someone who says, well, IQ also is not true, EQ also is not that good. Spirituality quotient. What is your spiritual intelligence? What is that spirit? Those who are students of economics or commerce may have gone through one theory by American economist called Abraham Maslow. Maslow's theory of hierarchy of needs. He starts with basically core physiological needs. Food, as we say in India, roti, kapda, makan. These are the basic needs. If you don't get that, if somebody is hungry and you say, okay, I'll sing a very nice song for you, he won't be happy with that. He says, food first, give me some food. You satisfy your physiological needs, then your sociological needs, they have to be met. Human beings need to be belonging to others. You need to have that. As one Englishman said, no man is an island. No man is an island. We all need that connection. After that, come your needs of emotion. Then comes self-esteem. I need to know how I am seen by others. And at the topmost end of the pyramid, Maslow called it self-actualization. And he actually said, I don't know what it means. Because there are no teachers who will teach you self-actualization. How disappointing. Someone with his speculative mind actually found out something, which is the ABCD of Bhagavad Gita. This book, written by Prabhupada, the very second chapter begins with what Abraham Maslow used his whole life to do his research and finally came to the conclusion that I don't think there are any people who know. There are no teachers on this subject and there are no practitioners. But he said that actualization is something which everybody aims for. So today we are going to see what that actualization actually is and how, if and all, in today's age, we can practice it. So we start with some definitions. What is intelligence? There are some 3-4 people who have given out various definitions. One is saying it's the ability to carry out abstract thinking. Next. It's the capacity for knowledge and knowledge possessed. How do you increase your capacity? How do you maintain it? Next. The capacity to learn or to profit by experience. And finally, somebody got so bored with these definitions that they came up with the last one. Intelligence is what you do when you don't know what to do. Believe me, this is not a joke. I'm not taking it from some humor book. These are actually the products of some very high-scale research into the brain field. a very exciting thing that most of you, when you expect to pass out from your schools and colleges, you expect to be ready for the job, for the world. And sadly, most of you will go through this. I'm not hoping it for you, but this is going to happen based on previous experience. Almost 95% of you will come to a boss who says that from tomorrow, do as I say. Don't tell me that this was taught by my professor in my school or my college. Forget everything. This is the real life. And you may say, this is the real life? What was that life then? I spent 15 of the best years of my life. We had a friend visiting our temple from London. He said, I have a graduation in the philosophy of science. I said, and what is that? He said, well, scientific understanding as it has developed, it also had some philosophical leanings. Some people were like Galileo and Copernicus. They all had, they were not just scientists, they also were philosophical people. So that was my subject. And what do you do now? He said, I work for a bank selling consumer goods schemes. I said, what connection does philosophy of science graduation have with selling people, you know, credit cards and all these things? He said, well, that's what I have to do to earn my bread. But what I like is graphics and designing. Now just imagine, this is the 21st century we live in. Here we have someone who is trained by our so-called educational system into a perfect graduate. Now we also hear in India people saying, BCom ko koi kimmat nahi. What will you do with that certificate? It's not worth the paper it is printed on. At one point of time, people used to write BCom BA under their names on their doors. Like so and so, Mr. R. P. Patil, BA. Don't laugh. At one point of time, it had some worth. Even a SSC fail was considered some kind of worthy person. And of course, we also have Mark Twain, the famous American novelist, who lamented that, I was born a genius, but schooling spoiled me. So, neither the current educational system people are interested in seeing whether you have any IQ or not. They just want you to eat a lot of data. At the right time, when the examination bell begins, vomit it out as fast as possible on your paper and get away with it. That's all. How do you expect such people to be happy in life if they don't know what intelligence is? If the very first day your boss tells you, forget everything, that thing doesn't work here. So we need some practical knowledge. And most youngsters are so disappointed when they feel at the age of 21, I have to start learning again. I thought now it's the time to enjoy. So therefore, though this world may throw at us different concepts, you have to be very high on IQ, you have to be very high on EQ, and their idea of what SQ is, we have our own foolproof system. So that we shall see later. We'll go on to the next. It is said that, now this is something just as a matter of statistics, 50% of all of us, human society, our IQ is between 90 and 100. 2.5% are very superior, above 130. But believe me, all of Hitler's assistants all were at least 160 and 170. So you also can do a lot of damage. 2.5% are under 70, mentally retarded. And 0.5% are supposed to be geniuses, over 140. And these geniuses have a society of their own. Anyone know what it means? The name of the society is Mensa. Now they are a society of super high IQ people. Surprisingly, they haven't contributed to any new discovery, invention, socially upliftment scheme, or anything which is worthwhile in society today, except come out with a few puzzle books and somehow they are surviving, and they are saying that we are high intelligence. Maybe your world, your problems are so low that, you know, we find it a little bit embarrassing to try to come and solve them. So they are smugly secure in their own ivory tower up there somewhere. So one person tried to understand, why do intelligent people fail? If success means money, fame, hard work, getting the job you want, in the company you want, at the location you want, getting the life partner you want, why do successful people fail otherwise? Before we go there, I'd like to share you my own experience. I was traveling to Goa and I had a book, but while traveling the book tends to get a bit damaged, so I put a newspaper covering. That newspaper covering had a news item on it that one businessman along with his entire family jumped down from his skyscraper building. Normally they do, we hear somebody jumps alone, but here he convinced his whole family, and it was very, very traumatic. Conservative society. So since the book was in my hands for 3-4 days, every time I would pick up the book, that news item would catch my attention. So after coming here, I decided we'll do something about it. It's not very far away. So I told one devotee, just go there and tell them that I am the local Hare Krishna center representative, and that news item said the police are going to give this society members some stress management program, how to deal with their stress. Now we have done some programs for the police, so I thought we are justified in offering our services. And I said, we are not interested in the money part or whatever. We are also part of the same community, so we are offering some service. So he went there, and naturally, in a high-rise society, South Bombay location, he was not allowed inside. People said maybe he has come for donations or what exactly does he want. But then the secretary of that society, the man employed there, he said, okay, come, what do you want? He explained that we would like to help, if at all you would like to accept our help. One lady came, seeing that there is some discussion going on, and he said, what happened? She asked, what happened? She said, we would like to do some program for you. He said, this is the problem today. Just because our name comes in the papers, does it mean that only we have suicide problems? People commit suicide all over Bombay. I'm going to write a strong letter to the papers. Don't give our society such a bad name. So he was surprised that instead of accepting some help, people were angry that their society is getting a bad name. One more person pulled up in his car and he said, hey, what's up? So he explained that we would like to offer you some service. He said, suicide? Here? In our society? No. He said, no, it came in the papers. It's the same name. Maybe in the other wing over there. Not in my wing at least. There's only 3 wings. So we lead such an isolated lifestyle today that we don't even know. And if there are some problems, we would rather wish to hide them under the rug rather than deal with them. So intelligence, as we know, of solving some mathematical problems or thinking very logically, is not sufficient for tackling today's main challenges.
Hare Krishna, you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. Due to the time restriction, I have to stop the lecture, but I will continue the next week. Every Saturday morning, 8 till 9 a.m., I present this program behalf of Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park, contact 9699-5122. Or any other queries, you can contact me 0412-696-559. The main intelligence of human society is to use our intelligence and energy to service of the Lord. Now the time for a devotional service, a devotional song.
Werribee, Hoppers Crossing, Little River, Wyndham Vale, Point Cook, Seabrook, Parnita and Laverton, wherever you are, you're on 88.9 Win FM.
Hare Krishna, you're listening. Hare Krishna morning program. As per the schedule, now the time for Chaitanya Mangala. Last couple of weeks, we heard up to fourth part of Chaitanya Mangala, written by Lochana Das Thakur. So today is the fifth chapter of the Adi Khanda of Chaitanya Mangala, described more of the Lord's pastimes of youth, including his tour of Bengal. After some time, the Lord journeyed down the banks of the Ganges, sanctified the holy river even farther by the touch of his lotus footsteps. In order to provide for his new family, the Lord set out for East Bengal, where he took up the occupation of teaching. In this way, he gave his mercy to the residents of East Bengal who lived on the banks of the Padmavati River. When he returned to Bengal, he found that Lakshmi Devi, his first wife, had been unable to tolerate the pain of his absence. She was bitten by the snake of separation and passed away into the unmanifest pastimes of the Lords. Sachidevi, his mother, was heartbroken and was consoled in her lamentation by Gaurhari, who glorified the sublime qualities of Lakshmi Devi. The sixth chapter of Adi Khanda of Chaitanya Mangala describes the arrangement made by Sachidevi for the Lord's second wedding. Through Dvija Kashishwara, it was arranged that he was to be wed to the daughter of Sanatan Pandit, Vishnupriya Devi. Here, the wedding of Vishnupriya and Gaurahari is established. The seventh chapter of the Adi Khanda describes the Lord's journey to Gaya. Sometime after the wedding of Gaurahari and Vishnupriya Devi, one day he left for Gaya to offer respect to his departed father. As he walked down the road, everywhere the birds and the animals who saw him were stunned with ecstasy upon beholding his lotus feet. After instructing a Brahmana in Krishna Bhakti, the Lord allowed the Brahmana to drink the water of his lotus feet. That Brahmana immediately became free from all his bodily distress. At that time, the Lord also instructed how the mysteries of Krishna Bhajana cannot be understood simply on the basis of one's birth in a Brahmana family. At last, arriving in Gaya, the Lord performed worship of the Devas and Pitris. In order to do this, his duty regarding his departed father, while so engaged, he went to see the lotus feet of Vishnu. At that time, the Lord met the best of Vaishnavas, Sri Ishwarpuri. He prayed for the mercy of Ishwarpuri, who soon thereafter initiated him in the Krishna Maha Mantra. With this, the Lord's transcendental ecstasy became manifest. He went to take darshan of his lotus feet, of the lotus feet of the Vishnu. Upon seeing the Lord's holy feet, Sri Gaurahari was overwhelmed with prema and exhibited his ecstasy by laughing, singing and dancing. Only a few days later, he returned to home, to Navadvip. From this point, the first chapter of Madhya Khanda begins. In the first chapter of the Madhya Khanda, the author described the Lord's pastimes as a teacher and explains how he showed mercy to his students. Praising her good fortune, the Lord showed his grace to Mother Sachi as well. Soon after this, he revealed symptoms of Mahaprema at the home of Sukalambara Brahmachari. This is the first time that he publicly revealed his absorption of Krishna Prema by showing the symptoms of great ecstasy, such as tears shooting from his eyes, hair of the body standing on end, choking up of the voices, laughing madly, and so on. Performing sublime kirtan, Sri Gaurahari drowned everyone in the waves of bliss. In this way, the Supreme Lord appeared as his own devotee in order to glorify the position of bhakti. After this, the Lord began his pastimes of preaching the glories of Sri Krishna Prema. Engaging many devotees in preaching, he began organizing all the devotees, beginning with Gadadhar Pandit as well as many devotees from within and without the Bengal. One day, the Lord went to the house of Srivas and his brothers. At the time, the devotees could hear the flute of Krishna. That time, Lord, overwhelmed by the mood of Srimati Radhika, in the madness of separation, he began laughing and crying. Sometimes he would fall completely silent and his mood became grave. In this way, he manifests differing divine moods. At that time, a divine voice said, "O Vishvambhara," his name given by his parents, Vishvambhara, "you are the Lord himself. For the purpose of preaching Krishna Prema, you have descended within this world in Kali Yuga." Later, at the house of Murari Gupta, the Lord would reveal his form as the Varaha avatar. At that time, Murari offered prayers before the Lord in great ecstasy, and the Lord told him to serve Krishna, the son of Nanda, following in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Murari Gupta wanted to see the form of Sri Ramchandra. As we understand from the book, that Murari Gupta is none other than the Hanuman. He appeared in this Kali Yuga as a Murari Gupta. At that time, the Lord instructed him the glories of the holy name of Krishna. At last, the devatas, headed by the Lord Brahma, appeared before the Lord, praying for Krishna Prema and attained Krishna Prema by the mercy of the Sri Gauranga. And this way, Gauranga performed kirtan at the Sukalambara Brahmachari's house. And Sukalambara Brahmachari started chanting, "Jai Radhe, Jai Govinda," and attained the mercy of Sri Chaitanya. After this, Lochana Das Thakur described the glories of Sri Gaur Gadadhar Pandit. In the second chapter of the Madhya Khanda, the author described the beauty of Sri Gauranga's divine form, the Lord performing a miracle by planting a mango seed that immediately became a mango tree with fully ripened fruit for the satisfaction of the devotees. Whoever ate the fruit of that tree was delivered from the tree of material existence. The Lord instructed Mukunda Datta on the supreme mercy of the Krishna Bhakti and how one should give up thinking of the body and mind and think only of the worshipable service of Krishna. The Lord gave his blessing to Murari Gupta. The Lord's pastimes of kirtana at the house of Srivas Thakur are described. When a foolish Brahmana remarked that the murti of Sri Krishna is a product of Maya, the Lord jumped into the Ganges with his clothes on to purify himself from hearing like this wrong interpretation of the scripture. The third chapter of the Madhya Khanda describes the glories of Sri Advaita. Here the author describes Lord's pastimes with the Advaita, how he performed kirtan at the house of Advaita, and how they embraced in ecstasy. A Brahmana who tried to stop the kirtan of Mahaprabhu by attempting to frighten Srivas Pandit was bewildered by the Lord's mystic potency also described is how the Lord in the house of Shivas performed the worship known as the Gada Puja. Gada means a club of Vishnu is worshipped in order to invoke the Lord's power in smashing the atheist. In the fourth chapter of Madhya Khanda, Sri Gaurhari explained the esoteric meaning of Shivas. Murari Gupta's book Raghu Veera Ashtaka is discussed. The Lord writes Ramdas on Murari's forehead. He reveals himself as Lord Ramchandra in front of him. This time, the devotees are sent to search for Nityananda Prabhu. The Lord meets Nityananda at the house of Nanda Acharya. The Lord explains the glories of Sri Nityananda and how it is that the Nityananda's mercy one may attain Krishna Prema. At that time, the Lord reveals his six arm, four arm and two arm form to Nityananda Prabhu. Lochanadas Thakur concludes the chapter praising the glories of his guru, Sri Narahari Sarkar Thakur, and his nephew, Raghunandana Thakur. Due to time restriction, today I will stop and try to continue next week. Looking at the studio clock, we got some more time. Let us listen one more devotional song.
Charane, Govinda, Raghu.
Haribol. Looking at the studio clock, it's 9 o'clock. Next show on this station would be very well known Saturday morning show called Past, Lean and Invisible. Hope you all had enjoyed today's Hare Krishna morning program. Looking forward to have your association again next week, 8 o'clock. Until then, Hare Krishna.
Your station, your voice. Win FM Community Radio, broadcasting on a frequency of 88.9 megahertz on the FM dial. We operate using a community broadcast license, and our studios are located on the Werribee campus of the Victoria University. Our information and request phone line is 9216 80.